This is Bruce Collins, your host for the Bible Studies program, and again, greetings this morning. Welcome to our lesson. We're glad you've tuned us in. And again, I'll give you my mailing address and website address at the close of the program. There's quite a little information on the website that you might find helpful, but you can contact me either way. We would love to hear from you. So I'll give you those addresses at the close of the program. Now, today I want to go back and continue looking at the end of Genesis. We'll be looking at Genesis chapter 50, although last time we were looking at the Genesis 49, where Jacob was giving the last blessing to his children. And I was thinking this morning as I worked on this that last week was Mother's Day, and I completely forgot about it when I was making the program. And of course, since my mother is no longer with us and my wife's mother is no longer with us, really I don't have to celebrate a Mother's Day, even though my wife might assume that even though she's not my mother, I should show her some kindness on Mother's Day. Now, I'll leave that to her, and of course I did take her out for a nice lunch. But nevertheless, when I was thinking about this, I really want to wish the mothers that I forgot about last week a blessed Mother's Day. I hope you had a good day. I hope you enjoyed it. But I do worry about recognizing these days, Mother's Day and Father's Day, because we have a lot of people who would love to have been mothers who aren't. And a lot of people who would love to have been fathers who aren't. And sometimes I feel like the days that when we recognize mothers and fathers in particular, and then of course now we've gone to Grandparents Day as well, that those days can be extremely isolating and depressing for those who really did want a family and never was able to obtain a family. Now we can see as we look at these blessings that Jacob gave to his children, that he had a large family, and large families were a blessing in the Old Testament. When the populations were small, and when families were your main line of defense against those who perhaps would want to harm you, it was nice to have a large family. When the means of producing an income and what was primarily through agriculture or through animals and herding and so forth, large families were a blessing in that they could be utilized to help in the agricultural endeavors. In our day, a large family is often more of a economic liability than an economic blessing, as it used to be. But nevertheless, all families are a blessing, and we appreciate the fact that we've been able to raise four children. And we have two grandchildren, but I have three children who are not married and who I think are contributing to society just as much as those who are. And so I really don't know how to say Happy Singles Day in such a way that it has the same impact as Happy Mother's Day or Happy Father's Day, but I just want to say to those of you who perhaps are single and did not have children or perhaps could not have children, even if you were married, we haven't forgotten you and your contribution, and we want to wish you a Happy Singles Day, even though we don't have one on the calendar. Now today we're going to continue to look at Genesis 50, the last chapter of Genesis. We aren't going to look at it all, but we're going to look at some of the things that are contained therein, because in Genesis 50 verse 1, we read, "Then Joseph fell on his father's face and wept over him and kissed him." And as near as we can tell at this point, he was 147 years old. We would say that that was a ripe old age. And then later on in the passage, we're going to find that Joseph dies, but he's only 110 years old when he dies. And if we go back before the flood, we found out many of the people before the flood were living close to a millennium before they died. But do you know what this constantly reminds me of? I've spoken of it so often on this program, is that 100% of us die. There are those of us who are looking for the Lord to return and hope that we will be raptured. We do believe literally in the coming of the Lord for his own to deliver us from the wrath that is to come upon this world. But at the same time, up till now, with the exception of two people in the Bible, 100% of everyone born into this world dies. We know that in the Old Testament, Enoch walked with God and he was not. And he's a picture of believing Christians today who will one day be raptured. And in like manner, Elijah was caught up into heaven by a chariot and a chariot of fire, and he did not die. And yet we do know that Elijah was in heaven. And he had gotten into the promised land because we read about him maintaining his identity by appearing to the Lord on the Mount of Transfiguration. But they die, and we die, and we all die. And the thing that's sad about that is that none of us really want to die, but we really didn't ask to be born either, did we? I don't think I had anything to say about that. Now, I know that there are some types of religions that would like to say that we are reincarnated and that perhaps the life we lived in a former life had something to do with our current life, but I do not believe that reincarnation is an accurate representation of the cycle of life. I believe that we are each individually created in the image and likeness of God in some sense, although because of sin, there is some damage to that concept, even though being made in the image of God is mentioned after sin in the New Testament. So we carry the imprint of God, and God wants us to worship him, and he brings us into this world, but he does not reincarnate us. He gives us a soul and a new life, and then what we do with it has a lot to do with where we'll be in eternity, because the soul that's given to us is eternal. But we do die physically, and we don't ask to do that generally either, although I know that there are some people who do take their own lives, but we don't do that either. But because God has put us in this world, and we've had no choice in that issue, we really need to recognize our accountability to the God of heaven in the lives that we live. And people who would deny that there's a God who does love them, and who does want them as his worshipers, and who think that they go through life alone, and that they just live, and then they die, and then there's nothing, that's absolutely, in my mind, illogical. Love those people, but it's illogical. I don't understand those people. We had to have a designer. We have to have someone who sustains our life. Through the Lord, all things consist, and the day is going to come when, like Jacob, like those in the Old Testament, it's going to say, and he died. And when that is placed on our tomb, and when we are in the grave, then what? What is going to be our relationship with God? Are we going to have prepared for that day? Many will have prepared for it by buying a place to be buried, and by planning their funeral, and by getting a casket, and doing all the things that need to be done, and providing even for loved ones that are left behind. But what about this eternal soul of ours? And so when we look at Joseph, at Jacob, he was 147 years old, and he died. And I'm sure, well, he actually says, when he's talking to Pharaoh, few and evil have been the years of my life. No matter how long we live, it's a short time in the light of eternity, and we need to make sure that we're ready to meet God. And the only way we can do that is if we recognize that we are sinners in need of a Savior, and that the Lord Jesus came to bear the punishment that our sin deserved. And now we who trust him go free. He's just, and the justifier of the one who believes in the Lord Jesus. And I'm so thankful for that. We can prepare for the day of our death. None of us are looking forward to the process of death. But those of us who are saved are absolutely sure that after death we're going to be in the Father's house, in a place prepared for us, and we're going to be able to enjoy a sinless, perfect life in fellowship with the Lord himself. And friend, I hope that this statement, "and he died," that speaks to you today. And so we know in the last chapter it says that when Jacob had finished commanding his son, he drew his feet up into his bed and breathed his last and was gathered to his people. And that is a wonderful way to die. And in Genesis chapter 5, there are just three words used: "and he died." Folks, I hope we're prepared for that day, no matter how long we live. And I hope you have a good long life, but I hope you are prepared for that day. Now, after Jacob died, and after he was buried, and you can read that whole story in Genesis 50, we find out that that Joseph's brothers all of a sudden become concerned that Joseph is going to take revenge upon them. The father is no longer going to be there to restrain Joseph, and surely Joseph has a bone to pick with these brothers. And so in verse 15 of Genesis chapter 50, we read, "When Joseph's brothers saw that their father was dead, they said, 'Perhaps Joseph will hate us and may actually repay us for all the evil which we did to him.'" But Joseph didn't have that attitude, did he? He says, Joseph says to them, "Do not be afraid. Am I in the place of God? But as for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, in order to bring about, as it is this day, to save many people alive. Now, therefore, do not be afraid. I will provide for you and your little ones." And he comforted them and spoke kindly to them. So here is a picture of the Lord Jesus, the one who was mistreated, the one who could have called 12 legions of angels and destroyed the earth. Here's the one who is saying, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." I hope you know the Savior I know, because I have a wonderful Savior. Sometimes we sing that, "A wonderful Savior is Jesus my Lord, a wonderful Savior to me. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock, where rivers of pleasure I see." See, and folks, we have a wonderful Savior if we've trusted him. He who had every right to bear a grudge, he who had every right to act like Satan and destroy those around him and be a murderer and a deceiver, he was the one who never told a lie, and he's the one who forgives us, and he's the one who has provided for us by giving himself as the sacrifice for our sins. And so, like Joseph, we might worry about what the Lord is going to do with us after we die, but we don't need to worry, because he has forgiven us through his own death. It made him able to be just, righteous that is, and the justifier of the one that believes in Jesus. And I hope that you know the Savior that I know, because there's a day going to come when they're going to say about you, "And he or she died." Now, our Heavenly Father, bless our lesson and bless those who have listened. We thank thee for thy love. We thank thee for thy salvation. We pray for thy blessing upon each one listening today, as we give thanks for thee, for the Lord Jesus, in his own worthy and precious name. Now, our mailing address is Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa 50849. Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa 50849. My website address is bdcministries.faithweb.com. bdcministries.faithweb.com. And we do thank you for listening.